Hey everyone, today's episode is from my Friday morning office hour session with the incredible Scott O'Neill, the CEO of Philadelphia 76ers, the New Jersey Devils, and Prudential Center. Joining me with Scott are my two co-hosts and business partners, Mike Mamola and David Marino. The four of us are going to discuss trusting the process, and you're going to learn about illumination because I made a big mistake to start off the conversation. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook.
I got the great Dave Marino and Mike Mamola with me. And of course, Scott Harris from, I didn't say that. I apologize.
Do it. It'll get you pumped up anyway. It doesn't matter.
I can't even find my where you guys are at on my computer. This is classic. Here we go. Hi. Scott O'Neill from Harris Blitzer, of course, the incredible entrepreneur and sports executive, and he's in the midst of an amazing playoff run with the 76ers, the New York Islanders. Scott, welcome to another show with me. I was so excited to have you back on that on the one show I don't edit.
There we go.
I get everything wrong, but no, I have been up for at least 20 minutes. It's one of those days. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, I want to get started. A lot of people don't know the personal, emotional attachment that we have in sports as executives. You know, it's you have to do so much business-wise, internally especially. But I think, you know, in the end, almost like 99% of the athletes, you want to win. It's a surprise to me all the time, from owners to the obviously the coach, but to the concessionaires, how much they just want to win and how much they're willing to invest in themselves and sacrifice, as other people say, to win. How much does winning play a role in what you do throughout your entire organization, and not just in the sports side of the organization, everything that you do business-wise?
Interesting lead-in. I will tell you that on the business side, we need, what we say on the NBA side, I remember I just was going through some photos from 2013 and tweeted one out from a game in 2013, and somebody retweeted and said, "You could shoot a cannon through this crowd and not hit anybody." Which it was. So what we talk about is being 50 win ready. So on the business side, like, we're trying, when you walk into a turnaround situation, like I did in the New York with the Knicks and New York Rangers, both through turnaround situations, and now Sixers and Devils, both turnaround situations, you've got to get the mentality to be a winner mentality. That's the first thing you need to do. And that goes from the janitor to the usher to the ticket taker to the woman working at the front desk to our chief operating officer. Everybody's got to think about how we are going to turn this around, get the mentality right. The winning part, quite honestly, when you're winning, life is good, life is easy. And I don't want to say anybody can do it when you're the number one seed in the East, but it certainly doesn't take rocket science, that's for sure. Our challenge was 8 years ago, when you're last in the league in every metric, you know, you haven't won 50 games since 2002. The market has gone completely ambivalent. I don't mind if they love you or hate you, as long as they're not ambivalent, and they were ambivalent. That's the hard part. That's when we win 10 games in a season, and you're the student teacher aide who's 23 years old at your daughter's school saying, "Are you ever going to win a game, Mr. O'Neill?" That's when you need some help. Now, boy, this is easy street. I'm going to go down to Atlanta today. I'm going to sit in a suite, bring some friends in from Atlanta, hopefully do some business, have some fun, get a win, and come back home and get ready to go back on Monday. So, Winning is my drug. I never did drugs. Winning is my drug. Like, it is, competition is something that gets me out of bed in the morning. I have a competitive problem. I was definitely the Monopoly board flipper growing up. That was me. I had my fair share of scraps in the backyard with my brother every time I lost. Like, I love to win and I hate to lose. I hate to lose a lot more than I love to win.
Yeah. Hold off one second, guys, because I know this is live, but we also do have recording. I got to redo a couple things, and I've been the illuminator like you, Scott. If I screw up, I just admit it. So Scott O'Neill is the CEO of Harris Blitzer Sports Entertainment. It's the 76ers, New Jersey Devils, in Prudential Center, in case anyone doesn't know who Scott is. He is also a dear friend, and I am proving that I am human today in these great shows. So thank you for your patience, all three of you. And that was a good question and a weird lead-in because I was not prepared. I'm sitting here with the notes for my
great lead-in. I'm right after it. That's how I like it in the morning.
Yeah. I'm up at four, but, you know, I have three teenage daughters. My 17-year-old had a birthday party with 42 girls over here. And talk about an adaptable routine, which leads me into, you know, your book, and I'll let Dave kind of take it from here. But I'd like to talk about Scott's book as well.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about Scott's book. Scott, good morning. I definitely am addicted to the same winning drug. These guys know we compete at everything. And it's funny, my wife makes fun of me for it, but I feel like that mindset and mentality drives a lot of what I do. I'm going to ask you a two-part question because I don't often get to ask this question, but I am a big believer in processes. And Scott, you know, you guys very, very famously trusted the process in Philadelphia. And I want you to talk a little bit about how important it is to trust the process in business and see the big long-term vision. But then also, I want to illuminate, be where your feet are. One thing that stood out to me is that your perspective on balance is different than the common perspective of balance. You don't believe it's just about work-life balance, but rather it's about being where you are, living in the moments with what we have, where we have, and when we have them. I think there's a parallel probably to trust the process there, but I'd love for you to expound on that and on why it's so important to trust the process in business and in sports.
Great. Okay, I'll start with trust the process. I told you a little bit just now just about what it was like when we got here. I mean, this was a mom and pop dry cleaners factory, you know? And now it's
damn, I should have bought that one.
Amen. And Josh and David Wilker are not who they are by accident, you know? So, you know, this is it was a small organization, and it's now, you know, a $2.7 billion enterprise, sports entertainment enterprise. Pretty incredible to think about growing, you know, 6+ times in 8 short years. But walking in, I always used to use the analogy. This is a great business called AEG, Anschutz Entertainment Group. And Tim Leiwicki, who's a dear friend who built the business, is now running his own company, OPG. But when he was building AEG, when I first got to the Sixers, I said, Tim Leiwicki went to the Kings to be president of the Kings, Los Angeles Kings, as a tenant in the Forum. And now they're the largest sports entertainment company in the world. Why not us? I said, why not us? We're a tenant in the Wells Fargo Center. Let's go. Let's build. We have resources. We need to build a world-class organization. We need to recruit world-class talent. We need to create a place that everyone wants to work in the world. We need to turn these teams around. We need to acquire. We need to build organically. And fast forward, I mean, shoot, we've got a venture arm. We've got a real estate company. We bought the Devils and the Prudential Center. That now is a top 10 book building in the world, believe it or not. We built a Grand Museum, bought a few theaters. I mean, it's kind of it's pretty amazing. An esports organization built Elevate, a growing sports marketing company with in partnership with the 49ers, OBG, and Live Nation. So this is a business that keeps growing. And I don't think that happens as you go day by day by day. I think you have to have a vision. I think you have to have a plan. A friend of mine said to me yesterday, which I thought was a great line. I never heard it put this way. He said, I overestimate every day what I can do, what I can get done. But I underestimate where I can get done in a year. And I thought that was so poignant, right? And think about it. We jam our calendars. We have all this ambition every day. But do we stop and think, okay, what do I want to accomplish in a year? What do I want to accomplish in 3 years? What do I want to look like in 5 years? Then put a plan together and then execute. And by the way, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be linear. It never is.
Yep.
But you need that guidepost. And it doesn't mean you don't make other decisions. It doesn't mean you don't zig and zag. It doesn't mean you don't fall on your face at times and then, you know, go through the moon at others. But without that vision, I don't think you can get anything done. And that's business-wise. Personally, I think it's the same thing. I think we live in this world, this Insta-famous world or TikTok-famous world. It's not about 15 minutes of fame anymore. It's about 15 seconds of fame. And for me, it's not worth a nickel. Yeah, it's not. Like I have three daughters as well. And boy, is that an adventure. we have a lot of energy and hormones and everything else in our house all the time. And
any tears ever?
Tear? I hope. that might be the best case on some days. It's an O'Neill family trait. What we lack in talent, we make up for in confidence. And there's something to that, you know?
I love that.
I think you've got to think about, even as a, you know, I've got a 15, 17, 18, 21-year-old. And it's like, what do you want to do this summer? I saw a conversation last week. What do you, at the end of the summer, what do you want to accomplish? I'm going with one of my daughters to Mozambique on a service trip, which is awesome. And she's like, oh, I'm going to Mozambique. I'm like, I know. That's awesome. That's a trip. Okay. Well, we're going to build schools. No, you're going to work hard. Yes. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to come back? How do you want to come back differently in the fall? What skill are you going to learn? What are you going to accomplish? What are you going to do? You know, and I think we got to ask ourselves that. It's like a year from now, what do we want to be? What do we want to do? What can we accomplish? And that could be mind, body, soul stuff. That could be business. That could be health and wellness. That could be spiritually, or it could be everything on that list. But I think we've got to do a better job getting out in front of that tree that's right in front of our face. Pull that lens back a little bit, have a vision for what we want to accomplish and can accomplish, set out the path to get there, and then allocate the time every day. Remember the first thing my friend told us, you know?
Scott, good morning. I absolutely agree with everything you said, and be where your feet are. The book, I think, released just recently, right? June 2021. I'm personally
Amazon number one bestseller. What?
Congratulations.
Come on now. Scott.
You gotta have some talent. Ooh. You gotta have some talent. So,
yeah, look, this is
your year of number ones, man. Trust me.
Yes.
This is your year.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading the book. Really, I know that the book was inspired, unfortunately, by the loss of your best friend to suicide. I sit on the board of directors for a charity based on teenage suicide, adolescent mental health, based out of Princeton, New Jersey. And I am intimately familiar with the struggles that people go through. So I commend you on the book and thank you. I really do look forward to reading it. I think it was Thoreau who said it, but he said most men, and I would modify that to say, and women, lead lives of quiet desperation, right? It's great on the outside. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm great. How are you? I'm great. And they're really not, because like you put it, they're not here now. They're not where their feet are. They're living in the past, which leads to depression, or they're living in the future, which leads to anxiety, but they're not right here, right now. And I love how you, and I can't wait, like I said, to read the book, how you put it, because they're not in the moment. Right. Is that kind of like being where you are, like kids during the summer? Right. That's what it's all about. So my question is, what is that magical thing that happens to allow us to be in that moment, to be where our feet are, so that we're not in those places of trial and tribulation and frustration?
Sure. Good. Well, first, I'll tell you, thank you. I'm glad you're doing the work you're doing. It matters.
Thank you.
To me personally. Secondly, life's messy. I mean, we just have to come to grips with it. I think when you read the book, you'll know that this is not a victory lap book. I've read plenty of victory lap books. And it's not that I don't disparage them. I love victory lap books. People have done incredible things, and I like reading about them. But this is not that. This is a series of stories that walks you through the times when me or my friends, when I was fired, or when I ran a company to the ground, or when I had problems at home, or when my best friend took his own life, or. And because I do want people to know that it's okay, and it's going to be okay, and that we're in the eye of our own storm every day. And for Dave, for your daughters, it might be, you know, their friends are having a party and she's not there, and they throw a video up on TikTok and the world ends. I'm like, the world's not ending. You're in the eye of your own storm. It could be one of my daughters crashes her car. The world's ending. And she, by the way, do you know that insurance companies will take away your insurance and not represent you if you crash enough cars?
You're talking to a couple of former lawyers, Scott. We know it all too well.
There has to be some amount of money. No, I mean, just don't go anywhere else. Anyway.
But I'm the only guy that owns insurance and never has made a claim. And it's not because my girls haven't crashed the cars. It's because we dropped.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great. But I will say, I think we have to take better care of ourselves, you know, and whether you're my 14-year-old Eliza or me, 51 years old, you know, from the outside, you're like, you know, this guy has it all, right? I got this really cool job. I'm running sports teams. I've got, you know, my wife, been married for 25 years. three amazing daughters. What could possibly go wrong? Well, the answer is everything, you know? And I'm not a fatalist. Like, I wake up in the morning happy. I'm a glass half full all the time, but that's just not the reality of life. So my formula is pretty simple. It's like, you have to take care of yourself first. Then you take care of your family. Then you do your job. And I don't think there's any other way to do it. And the formula is relatively simple. It's like, do something for your mind, something for your body, and something for your soul every day. Get sleep, practice gratitude, and be where your feet are, which means phone down, head up. And so something for your mind, something for your body, something for your soul, something for your mind. Listen to this. Come on this program. Listen to this. It's great. Listen to a podcast. It's awesome. Read an article. Listen to a TED talk. Whatever you have to do to stretch your mind outside of your core job, do it once a day. Something for your body. I got in the pool today. I usually do a Peloton. If I can't get a pickup hoop run in, which nowadays is a lot harder. It's getting easier. It's still hard.
I got one in Jersey if you want to come, Scott.
I'm in.
Dave 6'9".
It's okay. I'll get it to you in the post as long as you kick it out. The only thing that's working for me now is this, by the way. Legs shot. Can't guard a stop sign anymore. But I tell you what, world class. One thing.
I love it.
But you've got to, you know, you've got to get a sweat in. You have to get that heart rate up 20 minutes a day. And then the soul, nobody wants to talk about these days. And it doesn't have to be scripture and prayer and religious services. I know it's tough for people. It works for me, but it doesn't work for everybody else. But you got to meditate. You've got to find stillness. You've got to go for walks in the woods. You've got to listen to the birds chirp in the morning. You've got to find that reflective peace and strength and stillness. And then sleep. I mean, look, you guys know this. How many times you heard sleep is for the weak? You know, morning never sleeps. All that stuff. Well, that's all I heard growing up. That's all my bosses told me. You know, and I don't. That's not correct. So every sleep expert in the world that we've had come through our doors, talking to our players and our staff, it's like most people need 6.5 to 8. So I mean, you can be on the high end or low end of that. But our bodies have to heal and rest. Our minds have to heal and rest. And then practicing gratitude. I've got this great sign in my kitchen. I can't take any credit for it. It's my wife's, but it says, it's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. And you got to think about that. Like, think about how, like, if you just stop right now, pulled out your phone, use your phone for good, and send a text to your mom, say, hey, mom, just want to tell you, I love you. I'm grateful for you. I've learned so much. I remember when you took me on that trip when I was 13, and I was struggling, and that transformed the way I see the world, that I see women in business. That's it. Simple note. And just everything I am today is because of you, mom. I love you. Okay. Let's all send that note today. If you get a note back that says, hun, everything go okay, which is what I got the first time I sent it, we're not practicing enough gratitude. Okay. And if we take that and expand it and say, what if we text our daughters once a day? What if we have a mentor, a teacher, a boss, a coach, someone who impacted our life over time, or somebody who's a peer, or someone who just pops in your head? You're sitting in the shower. Dave Meltzer popped in my head. I'm going to send him a text. Maybe he needs me. Maybe that's the universe telling me, like, I got to check in. It's like, let's be grateful. Let's practice gratitude. Let's practice connection. That's 60 seconds a day. And you can not only impact the person's life who you're sending that text to, but it's also going to impact yours. And the last thing is, put your freaking phone down. Phone down, head up. Phone down, head up. Phone down, head up. You walk in that house after a long day of work and you're stressed and you're upset and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're mad, or you're just tired. We're all tired, right? Just tuck it in a drawer, leave it in a glove box, leave it in the car.
That's awesome. Keep
yourself 2 hours at home and be free.
It's so amazing. I just have to tell you, one of my gratitude practices that changed my life is, your mom's still here. Mine is. And, you know, I used to do the wrong things to prove that I was grateful for my mom and I love my mom. And to the context of taking care of ourselves, the one thing I learned being a parent of three daughters and that 11-year-old son of mine is that the best thing I can tell my mom, and I do, I call her every day just to tell her four things. She wants to hear that I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm appreciative, and I love her.
I love her.
Right. Those are the four. When I tell my mom that, because, you know, I reversed it to my mind, going, what do I really want for my kids? Right. You know, I grew up in that hyper competitive intellectual Harvard, Penn, Columbia, doctor, lawyer, failure. And when it came to the end, you know, that wasn't really what made my mom happy. It was that knowing that her children were happy, healthy, appreciated. So I wanted to add, I know I started slow, but I'm going to finish strong, brother. And I can't wait to play basketball with all four of us. I got one ringer I'll bring on our team. But this will be a really good team. I'm telling you, we'll run it in New Jersey. I'm going to repeat this one more time. This is Scott O'Neill. Where I come from, he's a mensch. That's all you really need to know about Scott O'Neill. He has a best-selling number one book, Be Where Your Feet Are, Seven Principles to Keep You Present, Grounded, and Thriving. All three very important, obviously. He is the CEO of Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, next AEG of the world. And you can tell Liawiki I said hi. 76ers, Devils, and the Prudential Center. Scott, thank you so much, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the finals. You don't even have to send me a ticket. I thought it was going to be with the Lakers, but we'll see what city I'm going to meet you in.
Hey, let me know if you guys are in town. We got game five, hopefully not a game seven coming up. Then we got next round. Love to have you. You and a friend. Let me know.
You're awesome. Scott. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. Congratulations.
Let's get it. Appreciate you guys. Keep doing your thing. Making a difference.
Thank you, Scott. Right on. You too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.